Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, folks.
G'day.
Ottawa, we are coming to your town very soon. We're doing a live show in Ottawa on the date of
June 8th.
That's correct.
That's coming up real soon. Yep. It's almost June.
Yep. Tickets are going to be going up probably tomorrow. So if you want to get some tickets, It's a nice, cozy little venue, so we're not going to be selling a ton of seats, but we're very excited for all of our friends out in Ottawa to come out and hang out with us and check the spot out. So keep your eyes peeled to both of our Instagrams and even our Termion Instagram, even though we barely use it. And the show is happening June 8th. I believe the show is set to happen at 6 o'clock.
A nice civilized time of evening to be entertained and still get home to bed at the healthy hour of 8:30, like me.
Yeah, a reasonable time.
Yeah.
A reasonable time.
Indeed.
So that'll be fun. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing you, Ottawa. And we got a great conversation for you today. We're going to get into it in a bit, but before we do, we're talking to Johnny G, a new budding male porn star.
Yeah, and it's about time we talk to a male in the sex industry.
We got a lot of females on the show. We, you know, a lot of those OnlyFans models that are making bank. Yeah. And
yeah, and we wanted to hear from folks who were males working in the, or non-females, I should say, working in the sex work industry. And this wasn't even, this guest didn't even come our way from from one of you folks. So I bet some of you know some top earning males on OnlyFans. We'd still love to chat with them.
Yes, send them our way for sure. but before we get to that conversation with Johnny G, I want to go into a little bit of listener mail that brought something to my attention.
Oh, cool.
So we, let's go with R sent us this because they didn't give me consent to say their name. R said, not a brain boner, but very cool. He said, hi, fam, longtime listener, and I've written in a few times. I was browsing Reddit this afternoon and came across a post where a woman became aware of the term beef curtains to describe labia, a term I hate with the fire of 10,000 suns. One of the most top comments was linked to this very cool study done on what the, quote, average external female genitalia looks like. I just listened to the host episode where you were talking about penis prosthetics and the average size of men's penises, and I thought this is a neat side-by-side comparison, so to speak. Thanks for the awesome content. All right. So that was referring to an episode we did kind of recently, and we were talking about, you know, male genitalia in media and in film and television. There's a lot of like males that are using prosthetics. And then I was talking about the, you know, the size of my penis. And then we were talking about the size of penises in general in the world. So this is from scribed.com, which I don't know what scribed is, but it seems like it's a bunch of like, what do you call those things? Like, like studies and stuff. And it looks like there's like books and everything. It's got everything on here. Okay. But anyway, this is from Gyno Diversity. It's called Classification of the Anatomical Variation in Female External Genitalia. So I kind of briefly went through this when they sent it my way and when R sent it. And it's super interesting.
Okay.
I've seen a fair amount of vaginas in my life, and they all are extraordinarily different. I've never seen two vaginas that looked even remotely similar. They're always different.
Remotely similar, like penises are remotely similar to one another, but they are also extremely different.
They're also very, they can be extraordinarily different, you know? But like, I've never seen two vaginas where I went, oh, that vagina reminds me of like that other person's vagina. They're always, I'm always like, whoa, look at this one. This is way different.
Right.
They're always very different. And so, but I've never really thought about that until I was going through this and I went, wow. There's so much variation. Mm-hmm. And it's really specific, the variation, like the classification of the variation, which I also didn't really realize. But it makes a lot of sense to me. And this will probably make a lot of sense to you, especially with the work that you're doing in like in anatomy,
right,
in class and stuff.
Okay.
So the objectives of the study, to create a comprehensive, richly illustrated classification for the naturally occurring anatomical variation in the female external genitalia, to create awareness about and acknowledgement of the extent of variation. It was a observational cross-sectional study. The population was about 310 women between 18 and 55 years old.
Okay.
A cross-sectional study using digital photography of the female external genitalia. The main anatomical aspects, relation of the clitoris, hood, and inner lips, shape, width, texture, and relative length and breadth of the hood, shape, protrusion, thickness, texture, relative length and span of the inner lips, thickness, texture, and length of the vulva. So pretty in-depth.
Yeah.
Results. There was a wide range of variation that was found for the observed anatomical aspects. The resulting classification is a robust system to describe and map this diversity.
Okay.
And the conclusion was women vary widely in genital appearance. This variation can now be classified and mapped. That would allow for statistical analysis of the different anatomical aspects. So they got like terminology and abbreviations at the top of this. So you've got like hood, which is the skin that covers the clitoris. You've got anterior and posterior, which I think is just referring to like the front and the back of the body.
Yep.
Proximal and distal.
Proximal is closest to the trunk. Distal is further away from the trunk.
Yeah, so close to or away from the center of the body, respectively, back or front of the photos. Lateral and medial. Away from or close to the midline of the body.
Yeah.
VL, so that's, I guess that's for viewers left, and VR, which is viewers right.
Okay.
So the method, so for the observational cross-sectional study, 310 participants were recruited online and asked to anonymously submit standardized photos of their genitalia, taken according to the gynodiversity shooting guide. Age, country, and ethnicity were recorded. Based on the submitted photos, the skin type was determined according to the Fitzpatrick scale, which that, I don't know what that is. That sounds kind of cool.
I will look it up.
Keep talking. Fitzpatrick scale.
Looking it up.
So here's a really interesting thing about this whole study. So they go on to say in the introduction, about 90% of all women have been self-conscious about their genital appearance at some point, which is a staggering number, usually during adolescence or as young adults. Pictures of lady parts, pictures of lady parts in adult magazines and websites are largely to blame for this because those pictures are usually selected or even edited for a tidy, desirable appearance. This creates the unrealistic image of what real life lady parts actually look like. Therefore, many girls and women do not know what can be considered normal. Their insecurities can be largely eliminated by showing what real life lady parts look like. Why do they keep saying lady parts? This is what this is why we created.
A band?
I mean, it's kind of like this is why their insecurities can largely be eliminated by showing what real life pussies look like. I think that's what they should have said.
Oh, you're just putting that word in there.
I'm putting that in there. Yeah. This is why we created Gynodiversity, a crowdsourced body positive project to showcase the wide range of variation found in female external genitalia. We aim to do this as follows. The images we receive are cropped and color-corrected based on the Fitzpatrick scale and, where needed, adjusted for unwanted shadows or highlights.
So the Fitzpatrick scale, just FYI, is a way of classifying ranges of human skin color.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. Nothing else will be retouched to keep the image as real as possible. The resulting images are placed in seamless grids called panels, making it clear at a glance the enormous variety in shape, texture, color, and size. Since the project was started in 2010, more than 2,300 women have been kind and brave enough to participate. Holy shit. As the project grew,
How many?
2,300. As the project grew and we saw and compared more and more lady parts, as we processed them and placed them into the panels.
So they took their own photos of their own vulvas.
That's right. And okay. then these guys, gyno guys, the gyno dudes, gyno diversity takes the photos, barely edits them, just like fixes things with like shadows and stuff.
That's right.
And all this is to help increase awareness around and about acknowledging the wide range of variation. So, it's pretty fucking intense, like how deep this goes. They have.
Do you have the pictures there?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So
how can our listeners find this?
Well, so you can go to Google gynodiversity study.
Okay.
Female external genitalia. You can probably find it there.
Okay, and you're looking for a website that is Scribd.
Scribd.com.
Yeah. .com. Okay. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I'll put the link in the show notes.
Great idea.
So number one, common anatomical aspects. The anatomical aspects described in this chapter are common in the sense that they are present in some form in all women. In other words, every woman fits into exactly one of these classes contained by these aspects. So you've got 1.1, the vulva. This section deals with the anatomical aspects that involve the vulva as a whole. The 1.1.1, protrusion, innie or outie.
Right.
The main source of anxiety is probably visibility and protrusion of the inner lips and or hood when standing up. Whether or not the hood and or inner lips stick out, an innie or an outie. Below are depictions, reference images, and probability of the variation regarding protrusion of the hood and inner lips. So you have variations with an innie appearance. So the innie, the hood, and inner lips are deep set and are hidden from view by the outer lips, which form a cleft together. So like the kind of camel toe sort of thing.
Yeah.
Note, this variation is the only actual innie variation where there is no protrusion at all. This is found in 27% of women. So this innie variation where the inner lips and the hoods are kind of like.
Yeah.
Then you have moderate outie lips. Either or both of the inner lips are visible and stick out. The hood does not and is hidden from view by the outer lips. So the inner lips are visible, but the clit, the hood, is not.
Okay.
And it also forms that sort of cleft in the front. The inner lips are at least flush with the outer lips. and they stick out no more than their thickness. It's so specific.
Say that again.
So the inner lips that are showing are at least flush with the outer lips.
Okay.
And they stick out no more than their thickness.
Okay, so if the inner
so this variation
labia
can appear to be an innie,
but it's
a moderate outie.
Is only like a couple millimeters thick,
exactly.
And it sticks out.
So you see,
but not more than a couple of millimeters. Then that's sort of a.
So that's found in 10% of women.
Okay, so the first were 27,
yeah.
And then 10 yeah. out of the 2,300 women. We'll use their terminology.
Yeah, yeah.
That they had in the study.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, marked outie lips. So like very much outie lips.
Yeah.
2% of women. Either or both of the inner lips are very visible and stick out no less than their thickness. The hood is mostly covered by the outer lips, which form a cleft at the very front. Also, this outie often is wider. This variation can appear to be an innie. And this is 2% of women.
Also
so this is like is like standing up upright.
All right.
Variations with an outie appearance. So then they go into like variations of outies. So you've got like flush outie, which looks
is
like this.
Barely any kind of.
Like the cleft palate is like, or the cleft palate. The cleft is like not really formed.
Yeah.
You've got the moderate outie.
Okay.
So both the hood and the inner lips are visible and either or both stick out beyond the level of the outer lips.
Okay.
And then you've got the marked outie. So this would be like what that like stupid term beef curtains.
Oh, I see.
You know, so it's like you can really see the inner lips. They're very visible. They stick out. They stick out
beef
beyond the level of the
like
outer lips.
A generic name for all vulvas?
No. No, okay. That was, you know what? I don't know if Dane Cook coined the term, but it was definitely, I remember like back in the day, Dane Cook had like a bit about beef curtains.
Okay.
And it was, I think the idea was that it was just like long inner lips.
Right.
Like long labia.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's not that they're long. It's just that
they're out.
They're out. Yeah. They're outies. So that's just, that's literally just the vulva.
Okay.
They go into the hood, so the different shapes of clitoral hoods.
Let's talk about that because I don't know.
All right.
See, the closest you've seen probably in real life, IRL.
The hood images are wild. Like it's just, and when I say wild, I just mean so much variation. It's fucking crazy.
The most, so I get my, I do my viewing of the vagina on the vulva gallery. Which is an Instagram post that I follow. And that's kind of where I've started to see a lot more variations.
Well, I mean, going through just this study, you're going to see a fuckload.
Okay.
The hood, this section deals with the anatomical aspects that involve the hood. Below are descriptions, reference images, and probability of the variations observed in the shape of the hood. So you've got pointed. So the hood tapers towards a more or less a sharp top. So it's like a sharp tip.
Yeah.
Slanted edges may be straight or slightly curved. That's found in 23% of women. Then you've got a rounded hood. So the hood is rounded at the top, not like a little point, but it's rounded. The edges may be parallel or slanted. This shape is not always apparent in caudal view, C-A-U-D-A-L.
Caudal is looking from the head down.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. In frontal view, it's easier to spot. So just looking frontal.
Straight on, yeah.
That's 15% of women. Then you've got a square hood.
Oh, what's that look like?
The hood appears to have a square top, as if cut off, because the IT dissolves into the pubic mound without a clear border. The edges may be parallel or slanted. So this one is 56% of women have a square top. Looks like that. So like, see how you have like, you've got the point.
Yeah.
Sharp.
Yeah.
You've got the round.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the square is sort of, there's not really a point or a round. And that one seems to be the most common.
That's interesting.
But then this one's really interesting. This one's called the wedge shape.
Yeah.
The hood is either slightly wedge-shaped itself or has a wedge-shaped appearance because it is partially covered by the outer lips. It widens towards the top, can be seen best in frontal view. So it's like, it's almost like the upside down point.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? So many different.
I'm going to have to look more closely at those because it doesn't feel as obvious.
In very
to
rare
me.
Cases, the dominant outer folds of the hood form a double V-shaped top. There's like a.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's
like a double V, like a double.
Double V.
I lied about caudal view. I can't quite tell. I know that I've come up with that word in school before, but caudal means pertaining to the tail or posterior or hind part of a body. So I guess it means from behind.
Right. Okay. They go into texture. So like skin texture, you've got smooth, slight, moderate, marked.
Okay. Marked.
The skin is very marked, the skin is very rough texture consisting of pronounced ruffles and often very prominent creases and folds, which is like the complete opposite of smooth, which is the skin is completely smooth.
Mm.
And then they go into the breadth of the hood.
What's breadth?
Which I think is like the
width.
I think it's more so like the sort of like length
of the cleft.
Of the hood itself.
Right.
The relative breadth of the hood is defined as the breadth of the hood divided by the length of the vulva. So.
Wow, that's very.
It ranges from between 7 to 33% of the length of the vulva. So like how wide is the hood in comparison to the vulva itself?
Okay.
And that can range from 7% to 33%.
I just can't help but picture a bunch of like nerdy, adorable scientists like with measuring tapes and like all crowded around.
Yeah. The average relative length of the hood is 34%.
Okay.
Like 34% of the length of the vulva. Right? So if the vulva was 100% in length, like you mark the top of your hood to the bottom of your like vestibule.
Yeah.
That would be 100% of your vulva.
Okay.
And the average length of the hood.
The breadth or the length?
The average length is 34% of the vulva.
Which is basically a third.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder how
it's
many.
Fucking crazy, man.
Here's a question I don't know.
So many vaginas in here. Look at all these vaginas. There's so many of them. It's so crazy to me.
Do they all have their hair removed?
It does. No. There's some with hair. I mean, like there's some pubic hair here, but a lot of them don't have hair like actually on the
labia.
On the labia itself. This is a really interesting one that I liked earlier was like the shape. So like the shape of the actual lips. So there's like egg shaped and lance shaped.
Oh, sorry, what's
diamond shaped?
What are lance shaped?
Lance
shaped
lance shaped inner lips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so is a lance is a weapon, isn't it?
So the inner lip, lance shaped is the inner lip has a narrow profile shaped like the upside down tip of a lance.
Wow.
The lance, like a.
Yeah.
Diamond shaped, like literal diamond shaped.
Yeah.
Pear shaped. It's cute. Heart shaped, you know, a little heart.
Yeah.
Spatula shaped.
Like more, probably more square like.
No, literally like a spatula. Like you're about
to
flip a pancake.
I can't see that from here.
You know what I mean? There's a spatula right there.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it's
spindle shaped?
Show me that one too, because I can describe this for our listeners. So basically with the shape,
I don't know
we're really outlining just one side, the viewer's right side, the vagina's left side. It's just like a white chalk drawing along the outline of one side of the inner labia that gives it its name. But it's wild that there are that many similarities.
Yep.
To be able to categorize them like that. How many different categories are there for just the shape of the inner labia? What did you call that? What's that measurement called exactly?
The inner lips, like the shape of the inner lips.
Just shape.
Just shape of the inner lips. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They also go into the, what's it called? The fourchette. it was called?
I don't know.
The fourchette. How the inner fourchette. How the inner lips meet at the back. So like,
oh, like near your butthole?
Yeah. I mean,
fourchette.
Not that far back, but yeah.
Well, for some people, those two pieces,
I mean, maybe,
bits
yeah.
are very
yeah,
close right. together.
Yeah.
Fourchette is a fork in French.
The perineum, they get into that.
Fourchette vagina.
The perineum is the space between the asshole
it's
and the
actual
and the hole.
So smooth.
So they actually
do you
like,
think it's usually smooth or is that am I just assuming?
So they go into variations found in the perineum. So you've got regular skin, you've got rough patches, you've got diagonal ridges, you have raphe, R-A-P-H-E with an accent.
I've seen that word before.
Patches, ridges, and or raphe.
R-A-P-E, not H-E?
R-A-P-H-E.
Oh, H-E.
Raphe is a ridge of skin is present along the midline, may split into two branches at the front, forming a Y shape.
Yeah, it's just a seam.
Yeah,
it's
right. It looks like a seam. Yeah. Yeah, fucking crazy, eh? Like, just a
really
bunch of interesting pussies in here. Cool. I love it. I love that there's so much variation. Then they get into the color of the vulva. They get into the Fitzpatrick types and colors. Like there, this is pages and pages and pages
of research.
Like it is. This is one of the most extensive like online pieces of research I've come across.
So the color and Fitzpatrick scale, are these models, these humans? Are they showing like the inside of their labia or then like the vaginal opening and things?
No, it's all pretty much the outside. It's all the external. This is all external anatomy.
I would think that because the shade, the pigment of skin
yeah, so
on
like,
the inside
if you
and
look
outside
at the examples
is so
here,
different.
They have type 1. So type 1 is just like, you know, fucking like gingers, like really fair skinned, right? This section shows the colors found in the skin, outer lips and inner lips of women with skin type 1. The probability of a given color is illustrated by the size of its swatch.
So
you've got like taupe
and
pink,
outside?
Sheer pink, timeless pink.
So it's inside or outside?
It's both, but they're not going inside.
No, but like in that photo on the right hand side there, there's like the out there's
you have
the color
the,
of
you have the
skin.
Outer lips and the inner lips.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not spreading the labia and going, what's inside? It's all external.
Well, the inner lips are inside for some of us.
I know that.
So are they looking at that color or are they looking at the outside color?
If you can see it from the external, then yes. Jesus Christ. Fuck, man. I mean, like...
I don't know where to put this information in my brain if I don't ask the specific questions. Like, where... Tonight when I'm dreaming and my brain's trying to figure out what to do with this information, it's going to be like... We don't know what to do with this, and then I'll just forget it.
Well, the results and the conclusion of this whole thing is all vulvae absorbed of the population can be mapped successfully into exactly one of the categories contained within each of the common anatomical.
Oh, I'm still with that stuff.
Additionally, occasional anatomical variations are found in small percentages of the population. Given the size of the population, the existence of vulval that would require additional categories to be added to the classification can be able to map them is possible. We plan to expand the population as we receive more contributions that are suitable and update this document accordingly. However, the current classification resulting from the study is probably comprehensive enough to successfully map and describe the vast majority of naturally occurring variation found in the female external genitalia.
You know,
now, would you submit to this?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, the shooting guide is right here. They have gynodiversity.com/shooting-guide.html. So that's where you can get the shooting guide. I would say you could probably go to gynodiversity.com. Is where you could probably go to actually submit if you wanted to submit.
I had to schedule a Brazilian before I do that.
Yeah.
Because none of those vulvas had hair on the labia.
This is true. Yeah, this is true. They looked pretty clean, cleaned up.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that there's anything unclean about hair.
No. That's not what I meant.
Hairless. Not like a hairless cat is cleaner than a hair full cat.
I bet you it is. Yeah, I mean, I would say that actually is true.
Really?
Yeah, think about like, you know, Donut's fucking mustache, dude.
Yeah.
Ugh. It stinks. It's gross. His hair is so long on his fucking mustache that it just gets smelly.
Whose fault is that?
Well, it's mine. Yeah. But if he didn't have any hair, he wouldn't have a smelly mustache.
No, that's true. But we love your smelly mustache. Okay, well, I would like to see a similar thing done on
penis
because I've seen
I'd like
more
to see
penis
a similar
than...
thing on buttholes.
Oh my god, that would be
buttholes
great.
Are buttholes. I've seen a lot of buttholes, and some buttholes are really cute. Some buttholes are really not.
What makes an uncute butthole?
I don't want to get into that. That's because it's subjective, right?
Right. Right.
So I don't want to say that and then have someone fucking feel sad because they're like, well, my butthole. Well, my butthole's got a bunch of things hanging off it.
I wonder if it is.
But I love a cute butthole.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a cute butthole? Johnny G.
He don't.
No, he has a
I
cute
mean,
butthole.
He just doesn't want
but
anyone.
He doesn't want anyone messing with it. no, because I've seen more penis than I have vulvi, and I am always like intrigued by the different, particularly like, well, I was just gonna say like for the Fitzpatrick scale, like skin tone
can be
so different,
right?
Obviously, once they're erect,
I find cocks are oftentimes just naturally more tan.
They seem so tan.
Yeah, they're always darker than the rest of them. I don't know. I don't know. It might be like a blood thing. I mean, it's a fucking organ hanging off you, so I don't know.
I suppose that's true.
It's not normal. It's not like you're just any normal appendage. You know, there's a lot more blood flow there, so that probably darkens it.
There's just blood sitting in there. I would imagine it's like it's upflow, like back to the heart can't be doing much. But even like. Ball, like testicle differences.
Oh yeah, you got some real hangy ones. You got
super
some
hangy
tight,
ones.
Tight. I mean, but some
large
can hang.
Ones.
I mean, mine hang. And sometimes they hang. Sometimes they're uptight.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're smooth. Sometimes they're wrinkly. They just change constantly.
They're almost never smooth, from my experience. They're unless you'd make them smooth, which you can do just by kind of pulling them on a little bit and like just
mine,
gently.
Mine gets smooth.
When they're hard, when your dick is hard?
Yeah, or if I'm like relaxed.
They're smooth?
Yeah, smooth as eggs.
They're not baggy?
Nope.
They're not even, are you sure?
Yeah, they get tight and smooth. Fuck you.
All right, well, the more you know. So we learned something. Check out the Vulva Gallery if you want to see some cartoon sketch, not cartoon. I shouldn't say cartoon, but like sketch out versions.
Yeah, it is cartoon.
It's a similar kind of project, I think.
Drawn,
in that
hand-drawn.
They're hand-drawn submissions based on real, actual vulvas.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty great thing to do. Because like, here's something I'll admit to, is it hasn't always been easy to look at my own genitalia. Mostly just because... It was never like, I don't think I did it until I was maybe in my 20s, like ever just take a look. I mean, it's different for a penile owner.
Fucking looking at it.
You can't
20,
have no 20, choice.
29 times a day.
You have no choice. And which actually.
Some people can't see their dick.
That's probably true. And but like even, you know, cause like I was out in the woods yesterday and I feel like it's really important to check for ticks, especially around warm folds. So like you gotta check your butthole, and that can be a very humbling. Like I've had laser hair removal.
Wait, I should be checking my butthole for ticks?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Sorry. When was the last time you looked at your butthole?
Well, never, but I'm like, I'm always.
How could you have never looked at your butthole after
like,
5 years
like,
of doing this podcast?
I don't like looking at my butthole.
Have you looked at it?
Yeah, I've seen it. I don't like it. I don't have a cute butthole. I have an ugly butthole. That's why I don't like looking at it. But I have a very close relationship with my butthole because I'm constantly shooting water up in onto it with my bidet.
And then do you have to kind of like wag your tail to shake the water off? Like what do you do with the water?
I just dry it.
With what?
With a little bit of toilet paper or a towel.
Okay.
And then when I wash in the shower.
Yeah.
I like wash my I don't do what you fucking do. I don't shove my finger up in there with soap
because
that's not good.
I haven't done that in years.
But I do wash the hole itself with
not
my
even
fingers,
a little bit inside
with my fingers with soap.
Do you ever try to just put your own finger inside?
No, dude. No.
Not even just with water?
No.
Just to get like the
you're not supposed
just
to,
inside
you,
part?
You, no. It, no. You're not supposed to do that. That's the same as going, do I push soap up my urethra just to get the tip?
What if your butthole is itchy? Would you do it then?
No, I'd go use the tushy and make sure that I wiped correctly. You don't get an itchy butthole unless you just didn't properly wipe the shit off you.
Oh, you might have worms.
Okay, yeah, well, never had that, so definitely don't know anything about that.
You've never had worms before?
I'm pretty sure
never
no.
Never been dewormed?
No. The fuck?
I grew up on a farm.
How do you do that?
You just
sit on a thing of cottage cheese or something?
No, you got to take like antibiotics for that.
Okay, well, yeah. Gross.
Yeah, no.
Fuck, man, no way.
No, this is the first time for everything.
All right, well.
Keep us getting your nose that close to Donut's mustache. You're going to end up with some.
Yeah. I don't let my nose get close to it. It's too gross.
I don't know where this is coming from, but a flashback is coming to me of a time when I was on Reddit, which I don't go on Reddit, but I was searching for something. I ended up on Reddit. I think I might have been searching up something on buttholes. I must have been. That must have been what led me there. And you can stumble on some wicked things on Reddit.
Oh, my God.
And
wild.
And it was this fucking poor person. I really hope they're doing okay. But their post was like, my butthole's been itchy for so long.
Dude, really? Okay.
That, you know, it's been like years. I've been too embarrassed to go see a health professional about it.
Caramba, it's going
to
be bad.
And then by the time they got to one, they had like self-soothed by scratching their own butthole against things for so long that it had like perforated. It had perforated their butthole, like created a new hole.
Well, folks, we're going to be in Ottawa June 8th. And keep your eyes peeled for tickets. Jeremy Saunders, at Jeremy Saunders on Instagram, at Brady McLean on Instagram, and at Jeremy on Podcast on Instagram. That's where you can get your tickets. And we can't wait to see you. It's going to be really fun. Listen, awesome, awesome episode lined up for you here. Johnny G, male porn star, wrote a book.
Something
called,
about this feels like an OG episode, actually.
It does, yeah, because he's kind of new to the game. And
yeah.
Sort of like just decided to like leave his job and dive into fucking for a living.
And we are grateful that he wanted to share.
So hope you enjoy this conversation with Johnny G. He wrote a book called How to Become a Male Porn Star in 6 to 9 Days. That is actually the title. And if you want, you can get the book 50% off.
50% off.
With the promo code Johnny G, all caps, all one word.
J-O-H-N-N-Y-G.
Yep. And that's at his website, doggystyle.com. That's style with two Ys.
No, doggy with two Ys.
D-O-G-G-Y-S-T-Y-Y-L-E.
I was on a completely different website then.
Then that's probably why you got
your... Are you 100% sure?
I could... Okay. You want to do it now? Let's do all recording. Sure. Yeah, why don't you just try that?
I tried.
Try it right now. Put D-O-G-G-Y.
Yeah.
S-T-Y-Y-L-E.com.
No.
There you go, folks.
It's not going to take me there because...
It is because that's a fucking website.
Okay. So earlier when
I know.
You don't have to explain it.
You don't have to explain it. That's why you got to the wrong website earlier. Okay. So... Doggy Style, two Y's in style, .com. You can get his book, 50% off. It's like fucking $4. You might as well just buy it just if you're looking for a good ebook.
Yeah.
And we hope you enjoy this conversation with Johnny. Ottawa, we're going to see you. Can't fucking wait to see you. If you want to support the podcast, patreon.com/Jeremy On, where you can watch this foreplay segment. And you can also leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or rate the podcast on the Spotify mobile app. And turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com if you have anything to say, if you want to reach out to us or do whatever, get on the show, fucking anything, do that, all right? Now, without further ado, we're going to throw this conversation with Johnny G, the new male porn star.
In town.
And with that, we'll see you on the other side.
And that's the end of what we're going to say before the conversation.
We'll see you on the other side.
See you then.
All right. Well, we're sitting down with Johnny G.
Author.
Author. Male porn star. Perhaps,
erotic
maybe.
Erotic entertainer.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
What do you enter on your tax return? Entertainer?
I'm actually having someone else do my taxes.
Oh, fantastic.
I've got a corporation set up, so yeah.
You gotta. I always struggle with that on tax time. They'll be like, you know, sometimes I'm an actor, sometimes I'm a filmmaker, and occasionally I've hustled some money other ways, and I'm like, entertainer, because yeah, you can claim the most amount of tax.
You really
rebates
can.
On that.
Yeah.
open.
Johnny, first of all, I guess I'm excited for this because this is the first time we've talked to somebody in the adult entertainment sort of industry who isn't a female, and definitely the first male performer we've talked to. So that's really exciting because I've always wanted to talk to someone who's on that side of it, but as the male, mostly so that I can vicariously live through them, because I do have this this very faint fantasy of like one day deciding, all right, you know what? I'm going to fucking do it. I'm going to be a porn star. But I would have no fucking idea where to start. B, I don't even know if I have the chops to do it, really. I like to think that I do, but I don't think I really do. And then C, I think the biggest thing for me is like, where the fuck do you start? And I know, Johnny, that you've written a book that is titled How to Be a Male Porn Star in 6 to 9 Days.
Which is, I'm obsessed with the title of this book.
It's so good.
So
I'm going to be real selfish here and ask you that question. If I was going to say, fuck it, I'm getting out of podcasting, I'm getting out of the entertainment world on this side, and I want to get into pornography, where does one start? Where do you start?
You start with a good picture.
Okay.
And that was the mistake that I had coming in from people that were reading advertisements that I had for females to get into the business. They were not reading the advertisements and they were sending me dick pics.
Okay.
And this is not how you solicit someone to work with you.
Not even in the pornography business, unsolicited dick pics.
I need to be a little bit more aware of who you are. And that requires usually some kind of facial like recognition. Like, okay, I see this person as a male or a female, or I see you as a potential talent to work with women or in a scene that I'm doing. But in general, it's very much like the modeling or acting business, where you should be giving a portrait photo of yourself to start, and then ask if they want to see your nudes.
Okay.
I feel like that's just a kind of a good lesson just all around in life. Never just start with the dick pic. You know, I think the unsolicited dick pic doesn't fit no matter where it's
brief time.
From.
It saw its brief time and it's out. Yeah, it's gone now.
Yeah.
But that makes sense, because you want to make sure that the person that you're bringing into your professional work site is someone who is an actual full human being and not just a penis.
But I guess to your point there though, Johnny, did you mention that it's a bit different for women? Like the sort of like nudes being like, if it was the other side, and you know, someone's looking to book talent for a feature or something, and they're looking for women, are they more so focused on like, show us the nudes, show us what's under the clothes?
Well, you can be naked or you can have clothes on as a female. There's more content creators that are quick to jump on whatever female body is coming into the flow here, into the feed. If you are a female, you can also talk to agents a lot easier than you can being a man.
Mm.
So there's differences in terms of who you can talk to. And in terms of what materials or promotional items that you're presenting, if it's nudes, video, whatnot, men are very quick to accept things just because it's, I say this kind of vulgar, but it's a hole. Like, that's something to fill, they got it, and that's all they need.
Mm.
And a lot of the producers and content creators, technically there's some laws about this that say that, in order to conduct porn, you can't be the talent and the producer in some areas.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, but this does, this is kind of like, there's a couple loopholes in this where producers are looking for new talent and they really, they're just trying to get as many people as they can for females. So, and men, if you're gay, sure, it's almost the same thing for gay men.
Right. Where did you get your start? I know that you haven't been in the industry forever, but in terms of like getting into it, when did that happen and what was the catalyst for that? Like, what made you decide one day that you're like, all right, I'm gonna do porn?
This is such a crazy story because I actually met someone that had a similar lifestyle, but was a little different. I was a travel influencer. And I traveled to 31 countries, over 250 cities consecutively. I was in a different city almost every week. And when I was traveling, I was getting everything for free, but I didn't make money. I was actually just kind of like trading things. But I had a lot of sex. Yeah. I had a lot of sex, like probably almost a different person in every city.
Right.
So I was traveling, having this amazing lifestyle. And people were like, how are you a gigolo? They're like, are you a male prostitute? Like, how are you living?
Mm. Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm a travel influencer. Well, COVID hit and kind of shut things down for me. There are a couple of bad things that happened where I couldn't get back into the travel industry or the travel influencer industry. And flowing through my TikTok, there's a guy, his name's Sterling Cooper, who was a male gigolo. And he's now giving advice on porn and all this stuff. And I started thinking about, you know what, maybe I should get into porn. And a lot of girls were like, oh my God, you should be a porn star. Are you a porn star? Like I had gotten that. And I don't know if it was a false compliment or something like that, but it happened several times. And I just thought to myself, well, it's time to reskill myself, retool myself and get out there and do something. So I started to put together a little content and create my own content, but it was not recorded. It was live stream. Okay. So I was having sex with Tinder dates.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so girls didn't want to have their face seen, but they got thrilled by the camera and they just came over. We had sex, sometimes a one night thing. Sometimes it was a recurring thing. Sometimes they were on vacation. Sometimes they were married. I mean, it was a lot of different ways of interacting in front of the camera. But
how would you say, like, in terms of a Tinder date, like, how would that come up in conversation? How did you broach the subject of going, listen, this is, I'd love to go on a date with you, but also, by the way, I'm going to be filming this for some content.
You don't have to film it.
No.
This is hilarious, too. about a week ago, I had another podcast and right where I'm sitting, I had another person that I just met off Tinder 15 minutes before. She's like, oh, can I sit in on your podcast? And I didn't tell her anything about me. I just said I was doing I had a podcast. And I'm like, okay. Really want to sit in? And I send her like, LOL. I'm like, I kind of laughed. I'm like, sure, this is going to be interesting. She sits down next to me. And this podcast was about sex and like the most sexual thing I've done in front of the camera. And like what arouses me the most. And this girl is listening. I'm expecting her to like pick up her keys and head out the door.
Yeah.
And she's hearing the most graphic stuff that you can imagine in the conversation. And after the conversation, after we hang up on the podcast, she just lays her head down in my lap and basically goes into a blowjob. So
Okay.
It worked for her. That worked for her. That was some foreplay listening to you talk on that podcast.
It was kind of shocked. I was not expecting that situation at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love this story because when Jeremy and I were married and about 6 years ago, we started seeing other people and opening a relationship like to other partners and especially sexually. And I don't think we got married young. And so we were going through like a little slutty phases together, but separately and sometimes together. And I often thought on Tinder dates. Like, oh, fuck, man, I kind of wish I was getting paid for this. Like, I can just, I can go on a date. I can be, and not this is something to brag about, but like, I can be not super into it, but still have sex and
still sell it.
Still sell it. Yeah. Have sex. And like, in a way, I was like, I can still, I kind of enjoy the game of it. Mm. Man, it'd be nice to get paid for this. So I love that that's sort of the trajectory that you were like, well, I was doing Tinder dating anyway.
Yeah. I, through that process, where do you start to, like, again, as someone who was never in it before and you start to kind of get into it, like, where do you start to, this is a kind of a really, like, probably a lame, like, technical question, but, like, where do you upload the content? Where are you, how do you get to a point of, putting it out there to generate an audience, right? Because I feel like for most performers, regardless of what it is, whether it's adult entertainment industry or podcasters or actors or, you know, musicians, whatever.
You need to have a following.
You need to have a following. You need people who want to be engaged. Okay.
Not true. Building your fan base is something that makes you wealthy and renowned, but not necessarily makes you money and gets you on track for being a porn star. Being in front of the camera and either streaming, I think what your question kind of is more related to is what platform do you put yourself on?
Yeah.
And I have kind of a background for web development. So I have a little bit of knowledge on how things work for streaming and bandwidth and all this stuff. And I set up a website for it. And through my book, I actually let people go and register. They can set their profile up and see what it's all about in terms of how the streaming process works being on cam. But one of my first attempts at this was through Adult Friend Finder. They have a free streaming cam thing that you could do as a unpaid member. And I was sitting there and people were paying me. I was getting tips and I'm like, this is interesting. And there's a lot of other companies out there. Like I actually went to a convention last week for porn and awards through XBiz and Chatterbait was their host their sponsor. And Chatterbait's massive. I mean, they have a very large audience, and very large pool of models. Live Jasmine's the biggest. These are streaming campsites. So putting yourself out there, you will get attention. In my book, I talk about how to actually get people to watch you. Most of the time, it's going to be finding your niche.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Let's talk about that. I want to hear more about the niche.
Mm.
So I have a couple different ideas about this. And I am usually telling stories. I'm a storyteller and I engage my audience through stories and they'll ask me to see my dick or something like that. And that's in cam. It's like a strip show, kind of like I'm not really into it so much. I like live performance and actually putting together a screenplay or a little bit of a skit to do to act out. But, I like aggressive domination of females. And it's not always part of my character. So I actually separated myself into two different dualities. I have a character that actually has a costume and then this Johnny G.
Okay.
So that's kind of my niche. It's aggressive, a little bit of psychotic behavior. And if you ever talk to women from Tinder, they watch serial killer documentaries relentlessly, like a lot.
We love our true crime.
Yeah.
And when you're with somebody that's aggressive, it excites them. And I'm not an entirely massive person. So I'm 5'10". I'm not like 6'6", but I can forcefully intimidate a woman thoroughly enough to where she's excited. And I think that's actually something necessary. But finding your niche, most people think it's dick, like big dicks, BBC. This is going to be the category that's going to be bringing in the most views. Not necessarily. I mean, there's girls that like to watch guys getting their balls crushed, men that like to watch the same thing. There's spanking videos where someone just gets spanked the whole time. people that dress up like furries. I mean, there's all kinds of different niches that you could find them.
Yeah, there is a lid for every pot, as our old friend James Cantor would say.
I would like to be niched. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd like to have
You'd
someone...
like to be niched?
Yeah, okay, so just a sidebar here. One time I went to see... So Jeremy and I are also actors. We both went to acting school. That's where we met. And one time I was at one of Jeremy's headshot shoots.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so expertly done with... The camera guy had his own costumer. Jeremy brought all his own wardrobe.
Yeah, right.
She looked at it. She put together a look. She was like, this is your train spotting look. This is like your broody, like lawyer look. Anyway, all these like, you know, things that in like acting or theater, we might call your type. And so I always felt really lost in that world. Like, I was definitely never any of the stereotypical types.
Right.
But even when we talked recently to a handful of OnlyFans models, female, and they talked about the same thing. Like, the niche is a really kind of important thing. And there's like a playing to type. Like, that is, you're obviously the girl next door, or you're obviously the American Psycho, you know, whatever you're most likely to be cast at. But I feel like it might take like a team of experts to be like, Bridie, this is your niche.
Yeah, I feel like my niche would be like the slightly awkward, a little bit nerdy comic book store owner who's hella horny, and some MILF walks in to find a Ninja Turtles comic for her son and just fucks my shit up.
You think you're young enough to get the MILFs?
Yeah,
I feel like you're...
If I shave my face, are you fucking kidding me, Bridie? When I shave, I look 22 years younger than I am now. I look eight.
Guys, you have these... I have an acting background as well. If you're getting a type or a role type or something like that, and you have a character that is innately you, that's probably what you're going to identify best with, makes you feel most comfortable. But if you can kind of like really get into character... method acting compared to like Meisner or something like that, you can be anything you want. Mm-hmm. What I suggest to people is that they look at their favorite stuff and then look at people that have similar bodies. Mm. Because that, if they're getting a lot of views and they have a similar body to you and they're in the kind of category that you like, most likely you're going to be able to slide into that and be okay.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Really interesting that a niche would... So it makes complete sense to me, but would like the body type would dictate the niche.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it makes
think
sense.
About, yeah, think about like, you know, like the, again, like the nerdy stepbrother.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
That starts banging his stepsister.
Yeah.
He's usually like a slender guy. He's not like super jacked up. He's always kind of skinny
with a pair of glasses.
With a massive piece on him for some reason, but I mean, whatever.
The step family, I'm so bored with the step family
it's
stuff.
It's so overdone. Yeah.
But it keeps on going through permutations because you have a girl and a boy that's 18 years old every second. So like, you're just going to, I've never done that before. And then they get the thrill of being that character for a while. So it just keeps on perpetuating.
What are some of like the performance sort of hacks or like performance secrets that sort of come with the territory of performing sexually in front of a camera, specifically for males, you know, like, I can imagine that. Well, there's got to be something said for like the amount of like physical control that one can master in terms of like not blowing your load too fast or even keeping it hard enough for long enough. You know, you're doing like an hour and a half shoot. Like that's a long time to stay hard, you know? And like, does everyone kind of have their own technique on how to show up as a performer and like get the shots that you need to fucking make? Or is there sort of like a playbook that gets handed down like through the generations of like, here's some like key tips that you might not have thought about before?
So there's going to be a couple different types of performers that do different things. You have your mainstream porn star actors that are hired to do a scene and they are not content creators per se.
Yeah.
And those people are said. I'm not familiar with that because I'm not doing those scenes all the time. I have a couple that are lined up for me, but Viagra, some kind of like pill, is common from what I've heard. I don't use that. I'm pretty in tune with my body, and I eat, like, you can jack your testosterone level up if you eat a little bit of beef or a couple like nuts before you are, like, an hour before you're going on, but not so much food that your blood is all in the stomach rather than down where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. So having the right meal before is going to be kind of essential for me. If I am in a position where a girl is riding me, I'm going to have the blood drained back into me pretty quick, depending on my circulation and stuff. Like if I'm really, my heart's beating really fast and I'm like, it's cardio for me, I have no problems. But if I'm just laying there and the girl's riding me,
yeah,
all the blood's draining back down in my stomach again, and it's got to go someplace. So I got to switch the position in order to get back.
Interesting. But, I never thought about that. That makes so much, like, physiologically, that makes so much sense to me.
Because it's all concentrated in the penis, and then it's, you're more likely to come?
Not about coming, just about, like, keeping it hard. Like, if you're focusing on getting blood flow to your dick, but you're just laying there.
Oh, I see.
Not doing much, and, you know, your partner's one that's, like, kind of riding. Passive. Right, and you're just passively laying there. Yeah. Like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
The other thing is screen chemistry too. This is big for me. And if I don't feel like I can rock it with somebody, or I would want to, if I don't find that person attractive enough to have sex with, and I'm cued to have sex with them, it's going to be much more difficult. If the arousal levels, and that doesn't even mean that she has the same stereotypical build that you would assume is unattractive or attractive. It's just the chemistry between the two people.
Yeah. Mm.
And I like.
So they don't do screen tests in pornography. They don't get you together with your co-actors and be like, let's see if they can intrigue each other.
Not exactly. Everything is kind of like show up and do it. But if you're going to a big production company, like at this event that I went to last week, I was talking to Stormy Daniels, and she said, "Hey, you're really cute." And I said, "Hey, get me on Wicked." She works with Wicked.
Yeah.
And she's like, "If you want to come out to LA, I'll give you a screen test. You can do a test with one of the people. Just get your blood work done, or your STD test over. Tell me when you're going to be out here, and we'll get you set up to do something."
Amazing.
So yeah, that's going to be me in front of the camera with an 8-person crew or whatever it is, or a couple people, I don't know. But it's going to be, how do I handle the situation? And it's not always easy too, because I'm shooting with myself and a bunch of cameras set up. But if I have other people in the room, I can have sex. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. But you got to get conditioned to it. You got to be comfortable with it. So it takes a little bit of practice for that.
Turn Me On Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you ignore the other people in the room, or do you use the audience?
You wink at them every once in a while, you know, and the camera's not on your face. You just look at them and wink right in the face.
So this past week, I was at the awards ceremony for XBiz, and I was talking to a girl, and I said, "You want to go back to the hotel room and fuck?" And she goes, "Sure." And we walk back, and we're going back to the hotel room, and there's a guy sleeping on the couch, and she's like, "Just don't worry about him. Just come to the bedroom." I'm like, "Okay." And we proceed to have sex, and I hear a knock at the door, and another guy comes in, and it's the guy that was passing out the awards at the
banquet. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a cigar in his mouth, and he's standing at the end of the bed, and I'm naked halfway inside of her. And I wasn't doing a scene. This was just for like fun. Right.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, okay, this is like college again, where your roommate walks in, or like, you know, you're just in that environment where someone's got, you know, your roommate or whatever. Hey, sorry, man, but I need to use, it was kind of like that. Like he's just there. And I talked to him for a couple minutes and proceeded to do what I need to do.
So. Wow, I love really that. Funny. What a life.
Yeah, there's a lot of fucking happening at the like XBiz Awards and like the AVNs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people find it a good time to collaborate because they're together. And if they got a camera, yeah. I didn't bring cameras. I wasn't set up in the same hotel, but in the next, that was my first event. But
would it happen as on the fly as all that? Like if you had been at that situation with that lady and you were like, "Let's go fuck," and she said yes, and you happen to have
If you're a content creator, would you be like, "Hey, let's get some creator doing stuff on whether it be OnlyFans or putting your stuff up on like a paid Pornhub site or whatever?" Like, but it makes sense to me that it could be very run and gun, you know, in terms of creating.
Let's get a camera in here.
As long as
it's in the category of gonzo porn. That
yes,
way, that gonzo, it's just straight sex scene. There's no storyline. There's no. It's just sex, and there's not a lot of creativity in these scenes. Consequently with what I did with this girl, she did a scene 8 hours before with that guy on the couch that was sleeping there.
Right.
And she tweeted out being with him, and his name's King Louie, and the dude's got like a 13-inch dong. And I'm just like, Jesus, like, wow.
Yeah.
This is wow. Like,
how did I get here?
Like I'm above average, but I'm at the acceptable range for porn. Like, okay, you just cleared the line here. That's where I'm at.
Right.
So it's not like I have this trophy cock that's everybody's like, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
But it's from what she experienced with me, I assumed that she really enjoyed it because she texted me like 4 times and she's like, "How are you doing? If you ever want to do scene again, I had fun." And I'm like, okay. She just took a 13-inch dong, then me, and was texting me a couple times.
Yeah,
so
I
did something right.
So are you gonna tape and like pursue LA, or are you feeling pretty committed to where you're at?
I have some content that I'm gonna be creating with stories. I'm creating a comic book series called The Alpha. It's actually a kind of like a graphic novel style rendered. Imagine a comic book character having sex with a real human being on video. I'm kind of merging the two.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. Like Roger Rabbit, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, that's more cartoony. I'm thinking more like graphic novel style, like black and white drawing, but also color a little bit, like Sin City a little bit.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Or like Scott
Watchmen,
Scott Pilgrim kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I've been watching porn for quite a long time, and
least a decade.
At least my first job was a sex store in my hometown, and so I had the privilege of getting 2 free rentals a day when I worked there, and so I was just like constantly bringing home videos and watching them, and I became a massive Joanna Angel fan, like huge fan of.
We had her on the show.
Of her work, she came on the podcast, and like. The reason I loved her so much is because she was doing these like really fucked up like horror movie spoofs, and turning them into porns, right? So like she did like Reanimator and like
wow.
Like Evil Dead and stuff like that. They're so over the top, so graphic, so full of like gore, and then of course just fucking everywhere, right? So if I like in my mind, like if my dream, if I ever did get into porn, my dream would be to be in a Joanna Angel production. Sure. You know, especially the one with like some goop and some horror, right?
Yeah.
So do you have a sort of performer or a creator or a studio that like you really look up to, or that like, you know, in a perfect world that you would be like, I would fucking in a second, I'd say yes to doing a job like that.
Well, actually, I had the opportunity to meet one of those people and it was completely random and it was kind of like a fluke. Alex Adams, and you probably never really think about his name. I'm pretty sure you've seen him if you watch porn consistently. He does a channel called Family Therapy.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I know that one.
It is step fantasy stuff, but his acting and the way that he actually like makes the scenes are really freaking cool. Like he does a good job in terms of like excitement.
It's mostly like POV, right? Like you don't see him very often.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
He does POV. Sometimes he's in it full shot.
Yeah.
But he and I are about the same size. So like I'm empathetic when it comes to watching porn, and I watch people like that are similar to me. I kind of like put the blinders on and get into that perspective of being that person. And he's built similar to me, and his content's really good. I would not want to do step family porn, but his scenes, the way that he does and the amount of scenes, he's the most viewed porn star in Pornhub.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's a lot of content.
As far as talking to people who work in this, in the sex industry goes, when we usually ask the question, like, what are your hard out or your hard no's? I rarely hear something as benign sounding as step sibling scenario. Like usually it's something a little bit more, I don't know, like something that would be on all of our existing lists of like hard outs.
Like three dicks in your ass at one time. Like that's a hard out.
Exactly.
That would be a hard out for me.
Okay. It's
too many dicks at one time.
I am not one for when I was young, when I was like 18, I was experimenting with like, oh, I'm going to put a popsicle in you and ice cubes and doing, and it was experimental, but there's girls that want to do experimental, pushing the boundaries of reality kind of stuff. And this one girl I met, she's a porn star. I'm not going to say her name, but she wanted me to double fist her ass.
Ooh,
oh, wow.
Ouch.
Holy fuck.
For pleasure.
Oh,
and this is not like. Not
did you say no, or did you try?
I didn't do it.
I don't think.
No,
I could.
You were just like, I don't think I can do that.
That makes me queasy.
There's times in my probably still like I'd be like, okay, maybe out of an experimental situation, but it's not like, oh, I'm getting so aroused by this.
Right.
Oh
no,
yeah.
It's not like novelty excitement. It's just like.
Yeah, and anal sex with some girls takes. They edit that a lot because it takes forever to actually like, okay, you got to go half inch at a time and you're just like, breathe. And
thank you for saying that because I don't think enough people are aware, aware that it's a slow pace.
Not always the case though.
It arousal plays a big part in that. I can imagine. At least it has for me.
For poppers.
Yeah, right.
But for off limits for my body, I'm not gay. I think that all human beings are trisexual. I think that we're conditioned to be what we are from our upbringing, from our environment, from our genetics, all that stuff. And it's just, I put a price on my ass. Of $1 million. And I'm not talking about like a cumulative million. I'm like, if someone offered me $1 million, I'd probably be like, okay, you can take my ass.
Yeah.
But I think
a million.
It's good to have a fucking price tag.
It's
good to have a price tag.
I agree.
It's good to know your boundaries.
I agree. Yeah, a million though, that's a lot.
I don't need the money.
What about? Yeah, right. Yeah, it's true. And that's those are good boundaries to have at work, no matter what your job. Like, you should know, like, I'm not willing to be that uncomfortable.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, I'm not willing to have have one of these mics up my ass.
It's like, sure, you can put this mic up my ass, but it's going to cost $1 million.
Yeah, I don't think my number would be as high as $1 million, though.
No? What would your price be?
Oh, fuck, dude. Right now, fuck, probably like...
5,000?
Fucking 10 G's, yeah.
I talked to these two guys in the industry brothers, and they're like, 15 grand.
I'm like, yeah.
Quick on that one. Okay.
Yeah, 10 grand, I'd be like,
it's
okay,
a menu.
Sure.
It's really good. A menu you need to create for your own services.
It's not necessarily the physical action. It's more the reputation and the traumatization there.
Yeah, I see.
So,
yeah.
Like, making it something that's extraordinary makes it more exciting to me, too. It's not like, oh, 15, like, you're going to make 15 grand this year. So,
but like, would you do, I mean, this isn't the same thing, but like, what about like just getting your ass like eaten on screen
or with
a
strap on?
Yeah, right.
By a female.
No strap on. I'm not into male domination. That's kind of the thing. I don't mind someone playing with my ass if they have a couple fingers or like a small toy or something like that. But it's got to feel good. It's not like I'm going to destroy your ass.
Yeah.
It's more sensual for me and kind of feeling. I really can't think of something that I wouldn't do with another female body.
Yeah.
And that's basically the boundaries that I have for this stuff. But arousal factors, there's some things that I can watch in porn that I can't actually do in sex that arouse the shit out of me. And I mentioned this in another podcast. Have you ever heard of gruel?
Gruel, like G-R-U-L-E?
Yeah.
No.
Or gruel. I think it's E-L.
Sorry, G-R-O-O-L. Could be either way. I can't remember.
Okay.
Gruel.
So this is when a girl has very thick fluid that's dripping from her pussy.
Yeah.
If she's getting pounded in the ass and it's just dripping, that excites me, but you can't see it when you're doing it.
That's true.
So
unless you have a good side view mirror.
That's even difficult because it's kind of like behind you, below you.
Can't plan that. You can't plan for that moment.
But on camera, I just, I'm like, what is this? I'm like, I'm getting very excited by this. And it turns me on. And I can watch someone that I was in a relationship. I could watch him bang you if you were my girlfriend and be fine with that and be like, damn, that's hot.
So, what do you think that is? Like, is it just like a difference in lens of sexuality and what it is to exchange sex?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think? Like, because not everybody feels that way and not everybody thinks that way.
Some people get physically ill even just thinking about it. Even just hearing about something like that, like in a television show or something, they get fucking revolted.
But I can kind of empathize with what you're saying. It's like I can... And I'm curious, but like, you know, have you had relationships with people who are in the industry or have people had relationships?
It's weird because the more popular I'm getting, like I'm at this like elevation or like exponential growth point right now where just my name's getting out there everywhere and people are recognizing me and stuff. And I'm getting more attraction from girls that are not in the industry. And I had a girl that just visited me last night that I hadn't seen in 6 months randomly text me and say, can I come over? And I'm like, I couldn't tell her what I was doing because I was just building my site then. And I was doing cam stuff on Tinder. And now I'm getting into like full-fledged porn with production and stuff. And I don't think she could handle it. I don't think she would be able to handle so I was just quiet on the situation.
Yeah. There's that. There's like sensing that someone may not be able to handle it. And there's also sensing like, that's not really where my head's at right now. Like it's based on what you just said, you sound very like you're in a headspace of like kind of like career focused and not really looking for, I mean, it sounds like she was calling you for like a booty call. I'm not saying she's wants to be your long-term girlfriend, but that's a different conversation.
Well, she's Chinese and it's she's traditional Chinese.
Okay.
Ooh. And she doesn't tell anybody that she's with a white guy. And this is kind of the...
Or a porn star.
she doesn't exactly know about that.
Exactly.
I kind of kept it away from her. But it's completely different in the culture in that way. So if I were to have a relationship with a star and we had an open relationship, I haven't done it yet. I don't know how you guys do what you do. And it's a mystery to me, but I'm curious about it because I think part of it is the possession aspect, like you're mine. And then the other part is the responsibility aspect if you were pregnant.
Right. Like, or just your emotions. Or just taking care of someone else's emotional well-being is a lot, whether or not there's a second person human involved.
That's true too. Like your cuddle buddy and a person that gives you support or whatever. But it's for this particular girl I was just talking about, the problem with her is she says this is just for fun, but then she goes through the process of saying what the requirements are for being in a serious relationship with her when in the same conversation. And I'm like, this is confusing. Like,
that sounds
good. Do you want that or do you want this? So,
I would just advise you to just focus on your career and let the relationship.
I am. That was just kind of very recent and she came over last night. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It's fresh on your mind.
Yeah.
It's nice that you're thinking about it. I mean, you know, whether or not it's just a booty call for her, it's nice to be taken seriously enough to do the thinking that you're thinking about.
Anyway. Yeah. But there's a lot of complications when it comes to relationships. I'm focused on building an empire, building a reputation, and having something to leave a legacy behind, which will be pretty interesting. So that's where I'm at.
Is it one of those things where, like, you know, when you decide to get into this, and even now having been in it, is it one of those things that you've kind of told most of the people in your life, you know, close friends, family members, or is it one of those things where you're quite selective in who you kind of who you openly delve into what you do with?
In my book, I talk about having a little bit of a barrier, a little bit of just not to express that so quickly. There are people that will murder you because of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like extreme Christians that are just crazy and you're just,
yeah.
You're
don't want you in the neighborhood.
And you're just like, okay, this is not. So you want to just be your normal self. And then if people ask you what you do, I say, I'm an author, publisher, content creator, media. I say something like that. And if I get more attention from them or more interest in them, I tell them, well, I do porn. So
yeah, right.
I love that. Well,
and then all of a sudden floodgates are open and they're like, tell me everything.
Yeah.
Do you find that when people find, I mean, aside from the Christians, when people find out what you do, they're like, what's it like? Are they super curious? Because we found that when we started doing this podcast about sex, people are like, totally, tell us everything.
Yeah.
Women get aroused more. And I thought it was going to be the opposite. Honestly, they're automatically assuming that you have some kind of sexual quality, that they're going to be ensured some kind of orgasm or some kind of like satisfaction.
Mm. Right.
I think that's part of it. Like if you're a stud and you're basically, you're skilled. And I think that's the underlying tone that makes them a little bit excited. But as far as like bring them home to meet my parents.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten there yet. You haven't met that person yet.
No. I mean, this is all, I'm not super into that, but it's all developing rather quickly for me. So
yeah. Hold on to your hat.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny G, author, porn star, author of, How to Be a Male Porn Star in 6 to 9 Days. How can people find the book? Where can people find the book and plug yourself? I mean, where can people find you maybe?
All right. So right now I have a handle on social media called Doggy Style, and that's my publisher company. There's two Y's in the spelling.
Okay.
So if you go to doggystyle.com, that will give you a link to my books, which you could purchase for digital download. I'm on Amazon for print copies, Barnes and Noble for eBooks. Pretty much anywhere books are sold, you can get the eBook, but print is only on Amazon. It's in 4 different languages. It's in Spanish, English, Chinese, and Hindi. And I did that because these are actually the biggest porn markets in the world. So,
wow.
Smart. Very cool.
Very smart.
Yes. you can hit me up on my website or find my actual contact information from the website and social media. I'm pretty active there. Doggy Style is my brand, and I'm kind of working on that. There's a new project I'm working on, and it is called Supernatural Detectives. And it's...
I am intrigued.
We are on the edges of our seats.
So this is just not even out yet. You guys are the first to hear about this. Supernatural Dicks is the thing, like detectives. And I'm in search for supernatural phenomenon that is related to sex. And I will be visiting haunted houses that are real and having sex inside of them.
Oh my god, dude,
yes.
Yeah. And it's kind of,
talk about
it's
a
kind
niche.
Of like horror, but more reality based stuff, but the stuff that you want to see on Ghost Hunters.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But porn style, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm stoked on that.
And that one's going to be on OnlyFans. So.
Okay.
And Supernatural Detectives.
Amazing.
I'm stoked.
I'll keep my eyes peeled for that for sure.
Thank you so much.
Johnny G, thank you, man. Yeah, this has been a real treat to be able to sit down and talk to you and get a little bit of insight into the life of a porn star and an author. Thank you so much.
No problem. Yes, pleasure being here.
All right, there we go. That was our conversation
that
with Johnny
it.
G. That was it. That was it. That was it. And thanks again, folks. June 8th, Ottawa, coming to you live show. It's our first live show in years. So we'd love to fucking see your faces out there. That is it for this week. Until next week.
Go touch yourself.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.